Our catechism portion this evening is found on Lord's Day 45 in the back of the blue hymnals on page 57. And that's regarding the Lord's Prayer. And it asks this question, teaches us what is that we're to confess in regard to it. It says, why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God gives us his grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking him for them. How does God want us to pray so that he will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God who has revealed himself in his word, asking for everything he has commanded us to ask for. Second, we must acknowledge our need and misery, hiding nothing, and humble ourselves in his majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord. That is what he promised us in his word. What did God command us to pray for? Everything we need, spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord himself taught us. And in connection with that, then, I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 6 and verses 1 to 15. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, there is a vital connection between the pursuit of holiness through obedience to the law and to prayer. So we have just concluded our reflections on the law, on the Ten Commandments. And now we go into prayer. And as I say, there's a vital connection between the two. I mean, we may know the law, intellectually we may know the law, but it's a totally different thing to practice the law. It's a totally different thing to live according to the law. And you know from the Old Testament people that that was a struggle. It wasn't that they didn't know what it was. I mean, after all, God gave it to them from Mount Sinai, had it written down on tablets of stone. But to keep it, that is a struggle. And I'm sure that we know that struggle in our own lives. As we seek to live according to God's word, according in particular to the Ten Commandments, it's an uphill struggle. An uphill struggle. No wonder when the rich young ruler said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Oh, well, I know the law. I've kept it from my youth." And Jesus looked at him and we're told that he loved him. I mean, he genuinely made an effort. He genuinely, from his youth, sought to keep the law. That in his eyes, he had. But of course, he'd failed in a very crucial part, which is that he didn't love God first and foremost. I mean, that was the first part of the commandment, right? Thou shalt have no other gods beside me. And he had his riches. And he wasn't willing to set those aside for God himself. And so keeping the law is difficult. And even the Apostle Paul gives his own testimony. When he knows what to do and wants to do it, he ends up doing the opposite. And he said there's a war going on in his members between good and evil. And we all have that. I mean, holiness doesn't come to any of us naturally, does it? It's an effort. It's a struggle. And so there's that connection then between our pursuit of holiness, not that we're trying to earn our salvation, but we want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be more and more in his image. And that requires effort. That requires work. And here we have this law. And the Holy Spirit, of course, is working in us to that end. But there's that resistance in us. So God has not left us without help in that. And so quite naturally, after the law, comes the Lord's Prayer. This is a means of grace. This is a means by which we can cry out to God, ask for help. I mean, if we think we don't need help in the pursuit of holiness, then we really don't know holiness at all. If we don't know how difficult it is, then we're really not on that path. We may think we're getting holy, but we're just living according to our own, what we think is right in our own eyes. And of course, if it's right in your own eyes, that's easier to do because we want to do it. But when God's word comes to us and his law, and we don't think that way, it's difficult. And sometimes we just set it aside. It's not that important. So prayer is an indispensable avenue that God has given to us to help us in our Christian life. I mean, not only in terms of keeping the law, obeying him, but just dealing with life, dealing with the struggles that life brings and the way that the devil comes to us and tempts us and traps us in so many different things. We need the very power of God working in us. And it's, how do we receive that? But by asking. You know, in our world, people used to kind of look down on the idea that, you know, people had cell phones. Before we had to go to the telephone box and phone or have party lines and wait before you could call. But then along came cell phones. And they got more and more numerous, and more people got them. But still, there were holdouts, right? Thinking, what do we need a phone for? I mean, you know, we got along before without it. But the benefits, that's how they were, you know, promoted. Oh, you know, if you're out on the road and you have an accident, you can't. There are no phones there. See the hand, you can just call, your friends for help, or you can call the police, or you can called AAA or whatever it is, and that was promoted. And to a certain extent, that is a benefit that we have. And we do feel more secure because we have that ability. Well, in a very rudimentary way, that is what prayer is. Prayer is that 24 hours a day access to God. No matter where we are, no matter what situation we may be in, we have access to God. The Spirit gives us that access by reminding us that we are the children of God and we have the right and the freedom to cry out to Him as Abba Father. And that's what Christians are granted. That's what you have. That's what I have. And the question is, how many times do we use that? How many times in a day or a week do we commune with God? Not just aware that He of His presence, not just aware that, yes, God is a God of all the earth and has everything in his hands, but in your life, in your struggles, in your trials, how many times do we call upon God and speak to Him and cry out for help, for wisdom, that we might say the right things, that we may do the right things, that we may pursue the right path of obedience? That is what God has given to you. That's a privilege that we have been blessed with because the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. How many times have we pointed that out? That when the Lord Jesus Christ died, the curtain of that Holy of Holies was torn from top to bottom. I mean, God brought those two things together in the Gospels so that we may see the connection between them. It's on the basis of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have this peace with God and therefore access to Him. Access that the high priest only had once a year when he went into the Holy of Holies. You and I have 24 hours a day. And so the question becomes for us, is one thing knowing about prayer and the various things about prayer, but in the end, if we don't pray, what's the use of that knowledge? If we don't use it, what's the use? And so the Lord Jesus Christ taught His disciples to pray, even gave them a model prayer to use so that we may have some insight in terms of the relationship that we ought to have with God and this avenue of grace that He's provided for us that we stand in need of. Given our own weakness, given the wicked surroundings in which we live in this sinful world, given the devil and all of his activity in this world in targeting us, wanting to lead us astray from God as he was in the Old Testament with the people of God. In the light of all of that, we stand in need of this wonderful blessing that God has granted to us, and at what a cost. So how are we to pray? The Catechism gets at that, doesn't it? Not only does it say that it's the most important part of our thankfulness to God, it's through prayer that we thank God. I mean, everything that we see, everything that we enjoy that God gives us, do we ever return thanks? I mean, do we all say to God, thank you for this, thank you for that, thank you for watching over me, providing for my needs, as this week emphasizes, does it not? Nationally, we emphasize that. This is a week of thanksgiving, that we acknowledge that what is obvious day by day. But do we thank Him? So how is it that we're to pray? You might think that, what do we need to say? I mean, prayer is prayer. Well, clearly not. I mean, James tells his readers that you ask but you don't receive. Well, why? Because you ask amiss. You ask for selfish things. You ask for things that you want to enjoy just for you. Not for the glory of God, just for you. And so God doesn't answer those prayers. It's not that the avenue of prayer doesn't work. It's what you're asking for is wrong. Or we don't pray trusting God. It's like He's a lucky charm. Well, it's the last, well, we just pray to God. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, I haven't lost anything. No, you can't pray that way. You can't pray in doubt. You have to pray to the Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, not some lucky charm, not some words that you say that somehow magically they're going to do things for us. They're not. We're absolutely not. So there's a way in which the Catechism reminds us and teaches us of how to pray. So first of all, in terms of praying to God, that's the first thing, is that we have to pray to no other person than God himself. We can't be trusting anything else. If you trust in yourself, or if you trust in whatever it is, your friends, or your work, or your health, or your talents, or whatever it is, if you trust in those things, and then you attach God to it as one other avenue, you're not going to be heard. You're just absolutely not going to be heard. I am the God that delivered you out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. And God will not encourage you down that path of trusting in a variety of things and then answer your prayer. No, he will not. We're only to direct our prayers to what the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us in this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven. That's the only place our prayers should be directed, to no one else. And so when you pray, think about that. The Israelites fell into that trap many times. They worshipped idols. Why? Because they looked at the other nations around them that had idols, and when they were successful, it's like, oh, well, then we'll pray to those idols too. We'll be successful. Remember in Acts, when Paul prayed and cast out demons, and others heard him and saw him, they thought if they just used the same words, that they will be able to do it too. So some magical incantation, and it's going to work. And so they tried it with devastating results. Not the same results as Paul had. Because this demon said, well, we know Christ, because they used Christ's name, and we know Paul, but who are you? And they were beaten up. So when we pray, it's absolutely vital that we pray to our Father in heaven, that we trust him, that we know who he is, as the Bible reveals. And it's to him that we direct our prayers. It's having been justified by faith, we have access. Access to whom? Access to God. There was nobody else in the Holy of Holies. That's where God placed his name. That's why the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, but that once a year, on behalf of all God's people, to where God had directed them. And that is for you too. Don't pray to anyone else. Don't even think about trusting in other people. Don't even think about being confident to overcome life's struggles because you know so-and-so, or you know so-and-so, or you have the funds to deal with any problem that you have. No, you absolutely don't. And so we're to fix our eyes on him. You remember Elijah, there he was on Mount Carmel, and there were all these others, the false prophets, I mean hundreds of them. And they prayed, and they were really enthusiastic in their prayers, but nothing was happening. And so they started to shout more and cut themselves, right? I don't know whether to show their sincerity or something, or they were really serious about what they were doing. But anyway, nothing happened. Absolutely nothing happened. And then along comes Elijah. And at the time of the evening prayers, he lifts up his eyes to heaven. And this is what he says. He says, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I mean, he wanted the Israelites to know who he was praying to, who was the one that was their deliverer. And so he prays to a specific God, the God of the Bible, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't shout. He didn't cut himself. He didn't go into a frenzy. He prayed. And you know the results. As God took that sacrifice that he had prepared with all the wood, with all the water that had been poured into it, and there was absolutely no doubt for the people that Jehovah was God. And all these false prophets that they tolerated were false. But it wasn't that long after that, of course, that things swayed again. And Jezebel went after Elijah. And Elijah was so disheartened that he wanted to die. And he ran. But clearly that showed it's to God that we're to pray. Only to God that we're to pray. Everything else is foolishness, as Isaiah said. I mean, how pitiful is that? That, as he says, we cut down trees, we use them to build our homes, we use them to for fuel to prepare our meals, and then, lo and behold, we take a portion of it and we carve it into an image and then we bow down to it. I mean, how does that not spell to us utter foolishness and failure? But the world does it. The world does it all around us. And believers sometimes can do it. Not so overtly as the world, but we do end up trusting other things than God. And so prayer then becomes something that is sidelined. This wonderful blessing that God has given us, this access that he's given us, is just set aside. It's of no use to us whatsoever. And therefore we need to be mindful of that. We need to be reminded, and that's what the Catechism is doing, reminding us of this powerful means of grace that God has given us for you to pray to God. And prayer isn't simply delivering a message to God and saying, oh, I need this, and going on our way. No, prayer changes us. Prayer brings with it God's guidance through his word, God's encouragement by his Holy Spirit for us to be able to face the challenges that we face and the struggles that we face. Just because we pray to God doesn't mean the value of the shadow of death vanishes, or the devil's temptations vanish. But it does mean that God gives us the strength that we need, the courage that we need, the hope that his word brings to us, that he will never forsake us. Not only are we to appeal to God, but we're to appeal to God with all of our needs, with all of our needs. God doesn't promise to help us when things get tough. He doesn't say, you know, when you can't handle it, then pray to me and I'll do it. No, no. Without him, we can do nothing. He is our strength. It's in his power that we can live. Without him, we can't do anything to please him. And so we have to get into this right mindset that the Lord is my shepherd. The sheep don't take care of themselves, do they? And then they say, well, if a wolf comes, we want the shepherd, but otherwise we can handle it on our own. No, in everything. And so we're to, whatever it is in our life, whether it's small, whether it's large, we'd always to appeal to God, Lord, help me. Help me in the decision that I have to make. Help me to make sure that the things that I say and do are according to your word, and the motives with which I'm pursuing things are pure. To honor you, to glorify you, that I'm not being led astray by the devil just to bolster my own image, that that's all I'm doing it for. I mean, Jesus talks about that in this passage. people that pray, wanting the praise of men. That's all they're doing. And so they stand on corners to pray. So to be seen, not to be heard by God, but simply to be seen by men, so they may grow in their image, in their eyes. Or when they give gifts to God, right? That they make sure that everyone hears and sees what they're doing so that they will have the praise of men. Now, people of God, the devil is so subtle. Even in religious exercises like prayer and giving to God, or even the praising of God, he will pollute by bringing bad motives into our hearts. So we're not doing it because we love God. We're not doing it because he is so wonderful to us. We do it because we want to be admired by others. That makes the whole thing of absolute no value to us whatsoever. And when we call upon God for every aspect of our life, we show that we are dependent on him for everything. As I said, not that we don't work, not that we don't make an effort and follow God's commands to work with our hands. We will do that, but we still are dependent upon him to safeguard us, to guide us. And so we are blessed in all of these ways. God has blessed us with everything we need for life and godliness. We might say our earthly needs and our spiritual needs. God will never say, why are you asking me about that? You can handle that yourself. No. No, God will hear us and he will provide for all that we need. So let us not shortchange ourselves in terms of this avenue. We're not saying that it's use this to be lazy. No, absolutely not. Prayer is not a quick fix either. But we do want God's approval. We do want God's guidance. We do want God's comfort and encouragement. And that we want to be confident in him. That's what he said to Joshua. Be strong and courageous, because I'm with you. I'm guiding you. I'm instructing you. But also in terms of prayer, we have to watch our attitudes. We have to be careful that we don't misuse prayer. So when we pray, we have to be careful that we don't think that we can command God to do something. That somehow we got blank checks that we can write and he has to fulfill them. No. Unfortunately, people have that kind of attitude. That they pray to God and he has to jump when they say jump. Well, what an insult to God. I mean, we feel it as an infant, as an affront and an insult as parents if our children command us to do this and to do that, just because we're their parents. And somehow we owe it to them to do everything that they want us to do. Well, we don't, do we? Well, don't we love them enough? Yes, we do love them. It's precisely because we love them that we don't let them get away with that attitude. And so if they come to us that way, no way they're going to receive what they ask for. And so we have to be careful in our prayers. We should not come to God in prayer in a bargaining attitude. That we argue, that we make our argument to God in the sense of, oh, look how hard I work for you. Look what I've done. Look what I'm doing. Can you please give me this? I mean, is that why you're living a holy life? Is that why you're doing the things that you're doing? Because you can bank credit with God? I mean, what an awful view to have. I mean, exactly what do you have that you're going to bring to God and say, oh, because of that, you owe me this. You're indebted to me. How is God indebted to you at all? All we have is our sinfulness. No, you can't come demanding anything of God. It's by grace, not by works. But people do that. And they think that they have this power. Some of them, have this attitude, that you have the gift of healing or the gift of, whatever, or even speaking in tongues. They make that like a heavenly language. And they distort this wonderful avenue that is for all of God's people. Now, when you pray to him as your Father in heaven. Pray to him as his child that he's adopted, the one that he's given you the right to be called the children of God. This is a gift that he has given to us, and we must always come humbly before him, not with a complaint, not accusing God of anything, even though sometimes we're so overwhelmed by the problems that and the devil is in there instigating unrest. And sometimes we think, well, why isn't God helping me? No, always humble yourselves before God. He owes us nothing. We owe him everything. And so we always need to come on the basis of the gospel. Without the gospel, we have no right to be heard from God. But it's only through the gospel that we have this avenue of grace to come before him and to cry out to him as our Father. That's why we do it. And the Catechism reminds us of that in Lord's Day 9, when it talks about God being the creator of the heavens and the earth. It says he is able to answer our prayers. He's able to do this because he's Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. But more important to us, he desires to do it because we are his children. That's why. Why do parents take care of their children? Is it because the children are so well behaved? Oddly. It's because they're their children. That's what it is. And there's that unconditional love that we have for our children. And even when they're being naughty, even when they do things that bring pain to our hearts, when there's that return and humility on their part, the floodgates of our hearts open. Like the father of the prodigal son, and we embrace them in our arms. We're always ready to do that. No, we don't earn God's help and aid when we pray. No, that is there because we are his children, because he has saved us. He did not spare his only begotten son. You don't have to negotiate with him. You don't have to bargain with him. You don't say, God, answer this prayer and I'll do this, this, and this. No, not at all. And neither should we think that if we, as the Bible says, if we just engage in vain repetition, maybe sometimes that's the way our children are. They just keep asking. They think they're going to weigh you down. Well, God doesn't get worn down. He doesn't respect this attitude that we're just going to keep saying the same thing. No. He heard you the first time. And if we ask right, according to his word, then he will answer. You don't have to keep saying it. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ prayed 3 times in terms of his prayer that if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But that's in the emotion. That's with the burden. That's with what he faced, that it was so overwhelming that he's asking God for help, but he's ready to submit each time, not my will, but thy will be done. Don't let my emotions speak louder. I want to do your will, my Father. And so if it's not possible, then your will be done. So let us not engage in that vain repetition. Or even, as we hear so often, and I think, it's good, but we have to be careful. The amount of people praying doesn't make any difference in terms of God's desire to help his children. That doesn't mean that we don't ask other people to pray, but we don't ask them to pray with the thought that if more people pray, my prayer is going to be heard. Never do that. Absolutely never do that. That's got no basis in the scripture. The reason why we ask people to pray is because they love us. They care for us. And what burdens you burdens them. And they need help. And they pray to God for you because of the love that we have towards one another. Never to twist God's arms. Absolutely not. No, your voice, your pain, your suffering, your struggle is enough for God to reach out and bring help and strength to you. And then do it in humility. In humility. As I said, knowing that we can't demand anything from God. It is all by grace. He didn't have to save us. He didn't have to intervene when we incurred his judgment. As the canons of Dort say, even if God had condemned the whole world without saving any, he would have done nothing unjust. There was nothing forcing God with respect to the gospel. He did it out of his own accord, out of his own heart. And so we need always to be humble before him and cry out to him for mercy, for help, for guidance, so that we might indeed honor him and please him in everything that we do. And we must do it in holiness. When my people that are known by my name humble themselves and pray, that's the promise of God. I will hear them. I will respond. And so let us seek to live lives that honor him. Don't let us live like the world, and when we have a problem, we go running to God. We have no interest in living a holy life, but we just want him to help us in times of trouble. No, we ought to be living in holiness, living, pursuing, wanting to honor him in everything that we do. And now when we have struggles and difficulties, then we can pray to him and he will listen to us. He's not there as a last resort for you. No, seek to honor him. And finally, we should have assurance in prayer. It ought not to be, pardon the pun, but a Hail Mary, like we have nowhere else to turn, so we might as well pray to God. No, absolutely not. You're not the last resort. He should be the first and only resort that we have. We ought to be confident that he will hear us. That's why James says, he that prays in with doubt is going to be a fruitless prayer. In other words, you're doubting whether God is going to help you. You doubt whether God has the ability to help you. No, that's insulting him. No, we have to have confidence, assurance. Assurance that we only need to look to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the scriptures argue. If he did not spare his only begotten Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not with him give us all things freely? I mean, how does that logic not impregnate our minds? How does it not prove the case beyond a shadow of a doubt? If you question whether God's going to help you, you don't have assurance that he will or not, then perhaps you don't understand the gospel. He didn't spare his only begotten Son. He gave him up for you. So don't doubt. Be confident. All the promises of God are meant to bolster us in our Christian life. That's the way it was with Abraham. That God made promises, and he even took an oath so that Abraham would be certain. And Hebrews says that was an anchor for his soul. I mean, who doesn't need an anchor for our soul in the world that we live in and the up and down of life? We do need stability. And it's only God that brings that stability. And it's through the avenue of prayer that that stability becomes our help and strength. So don't doubt God. Take him at his word. Take what he says in the scriptures. that he cares for you. And if we have trouble with that, then go back to the gospel. Go back to knowing about God, how he's manifested himself through the scriptures. That's your God. That's my God. A God that when his people are going astray and doing the most terrible things, even in the temple of God, when they humble themselves, he embraces them. Come, let us reason together, he says to his people in Isaiah. When they were worshiping God without their heart, they were just going through the motions, vain repetition, we might say. When they had no interest in God, but they just wanted to keep the veneer of religion. And God doesn't say, forget it, I don't want to have anything to do with them. He said, no, come, let us reason together. Let us sort this out. Let us have that relationship that will be a blessing to you. My care over your life. No, we need to have the assurance. We need to know how much God loves us and cares for us and what it is that he's done for us already. And how terrible it is. God, having done all of that, provided us this wonderful avenue, and we never use it. I mean, can you imagine how insulting it would be if Christ walked with you everywhere you went? And you never turned to him for help? You never asked him, what should I do? Or help me to do the right thing? You just ignored him. No, that's not the Christian life. The Christian life is walking with God, under his care, under his guidance, depending on him for everything that we need for life and godliness. People of God, I don't know what you're going to face this week. I don't know what I'm going to face this week. But we go forward with confidence, not because we have such wonderful knowledge of the Bible, but because God promises to go with us. And we have his ear every moment of every day. And he has the answers to all of our needs. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful avenue of prayer. That people perhaps think that there's nothing to it. It's just words. It's just our imaginations. And our Father in heaven, we know that that is a falsehood that the devil wants us to believe. Because it is through that avenue that we can resist him and follow holiness and bring glory to your name and defeat to him. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would be with each and every one of us, that we might be in constant prayer to you, living life under your careful guidance, looking to you to strengthen and help us, to keep us from temptation, to deliver us from evil, to help us to forgive others that sin against us, to show the love of our Lord Jesus Christ to all. Our Father, hear our prayers and bless us in all the struggles of life, that we may honor you and that the gospel may shine forth. Hear our prayers, for we bring them in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we sing from the Blue Hymnals number 445. 445.